ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
This will had come about in the most suspicious circumstances you could possibly imagine.
Who gets what when someone dies, and who decides?
The difficulty with undue influence often is proving it.
Join me, Damien Carrick, for the Law Report special series on wills, Over My Dead Body.
The person felt like they had no option, that it's difficult to prove that.
To hear, search for The Law Report and look out for Over My Dead Body. Find it on ABC Listen or wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't want to alarm you, but redback spiders are everywhere. They live right across Australia and they have tangly web relatives in many countries around the world. But here's the thing. When it comes to how we ended up with so many redbacks, the mechanism for increasing their population, these spiders have a totally bizarre and unique ritual. And we've just discovered that it's written in their DNA. This is Lab Notes. I'm Jonathan Webb, and today I'm joined by science reporter from the Radio National Science Unit, Ellen Fidian. Hi, Ellen.
Hello, Jonathan.
Now, before we go any further, I just have a warning for those with younger ears listening to today's episode. We will be talking about the intimate lives of spiders, so proceed with caution. Ellen, while researching this story, I'm sure you looked up a hell of a lot of weird and wonderful images of redback spiders. I hope you're not arachnophobic. Or even if you were arachnophobic, you probably wouldn't have been by the time you'd been exposed to...
Yeah, enough time watching essentially spider pornography is... Yeah, you get exposed after a certain amount of time.
And what have you learned? Why is this spider sex interesting?
So redback spiders have a very bizarre reproductive cycle. This is actually something we've known about for decades, but we're still learning a lot more about it. The males end their lives having sex with the female redback spiders. The females eat the males while they're mating.
Okay.
And the males actually encourage this behaviour. They do this little backflip onto the female's jaws while they're mating so that it's easier for her to sink her fangs into him and eat him.
Okay.
I think this is a completely bizarre method of reproduction. Like, you look at it initially having done, you know, even high school biology and think, why on earth would this be selected for? Why would this work? So that was the first thing that really caught my attention about it.
Yeah. And this is something that happens kind of across the insect and spider world a little bit, right? Like, there's sort of a cannibalistic aspect to mating sometimes, but the acrobatics of the redback sound kind of unique.
Yeah, it does happen. Although, interestingly, Bruno Bazzotto, one of the researchers I spoke to for this story, did say to me very casually, oh, sexual cannibalism is not as common as people think in insects, which was an amazing off-the-cuff comment to receive from a researcher.
Allow me to correct the record about my misunderstood research subjects.
Yeah, although it also happens in funnel webs, not the back flip, but the sexual cannibalism. So okay. It does happen in some of our most dangerous spiders. So it's not unheard of.
And why would the backflip have evolved as a thing?
So the whole process is this kind of interesting evolutionary battle of the sexes. Spiders have these organs, redback spiders have these organs called spermatheca, where they store sperm. They can store it for up to 2 years and continue to use it to produce offspring.
Wow.
And they've got two kind of chambers there. So it's in the female spider's interest to have to mate with multiple different males. So she's got offspring from multiple different fathers, because then she's got more diverse offspring, more spider babies, and so she's more likely to reproduce.
Okay.
So that's probably where the cannibalism first came in. While they're mating, she starts eating the male partner so that she can then mate with another one and make sure she's got a more diverse set of offspring. But then the males have evolved a response to this, because obviously it's in the male's interest to mate for as long as possible and essentially get as much sperm as possible into the female. So if the male can fill both of those chambers, then he's pretty much guaranteed his chance of offspring. As long as the female goes on to have babies, they're going to be his. So this somersault's actually a deliberate attempt to prolong the mating process so that he can mate for longer, and that means that he's much more likely to have offspring. And because he was probably going to get eaten anyway, this is actually the best possible trade-off for him. And they also have this weird little abdominal constriction, it's called. They basically squeeze their big spider abdomens because that keeps them alive for just a little bit longer so that they can continue the mating.
Just take a little bit longer to eat me so that more of your babies will be mine. What a thing.
Yeah, it's dinner and a show.
How does a male redback spider learn that this is a good idea? Do they see others doing it? Or is this where we come to the genetics of the situation?
Yeah, so it looks like it's genetic behaviour. It's something that's encoded in the spider's DNA. And that's actually where this research came in. They were trying to locate where the gene for this happens because there's a very close relation to the redback spider, the katipo, which is native to New Zealand. They look quite a lot like redback spiders. They're a little bit smaller. And they diverge from redback spiders pretty recently in evolutionary terms, sort of 100 to 200,000 years ago. So they're pretty closely related. But they don't do any of this. They don't do the sexual cannibalism, and they certainly don't do the somersault or any of that behavior either. The researchers think possibly the katipo lost this behavior as it evolved away from the redback. But whatever happened, however that happened, it happened really quickly in evolutionary terms, which suggests there's probably a pretty simple genetic basis for it. There's probably only a couple of genes that are actually causing the redbacks to do this.
So what did they find?
So these spiders are actually so closely related that they can breed together. So they crossbred male redback spiders and female katipo together to test whether the genes were on the sex chromosomes, the spider sex chromosomes. And then they set these hybrid male spiders up with female katipos on their own webs, played some nice music, I imagine, and filmed them mating and recorded to see whether or not they had this somersault behaviour. They theorised that about half of the spiders would have the somersault and the abdominal constricting because of the way they'd bred up these crosses and the way sex chromosomes in spiders work. Yes, half of them did do the somersault, but they didn't get half of them doing the abdominal squeezing. So they think the somersault, almost definitely on one of the spider sex chromosomes. The abdominal squeezing is a little bit more complicated. They haven't nailed down the genetics of that just yet.
This is amazing, though. It's like those classic experiments that explained how genetics work in, like, pea plants, where you do a cross and you end up with half one colour and half the other colour, but it's not a colour, it's a back-flipping redback.
Yeah, it's Mendelian genetics, and the paper's full of these Punnett squares that they've drawn up. It's the spider X chromosome, but redback spiders aren't XXXY like humans are. It's a lot more complicated than that. So the Punnett squares they were drawing up to sort of calculate the inheritance was pretty thorough.
Multi-dimensional Mendelian charts. Amazing. So someone might be listening to this and thinking, that's all well and good and curious, but why does Aussie redback versus New Zealand katipo spider sex matter to science, Ellen?
So the redback spider is actually invasive in New Zealand. They've got populations of them that they don't want. They're actually predating on native beetles and even skinks. Redbacks can eat like small lizards.
Golly.
Yeah, so there's an issue there, but also they're presenting a threat to the katipo. Because they can interbreed, there's this big hybridization thing happening in New Zealand, and they risk losing the katipo through hybridization with the redback, and obviously because the female redbacks eat the males while they mate, they can often end up winning in a population.
What can they do about it in New Zealand to try and stop the redbacks from taking over these populations?
Yeah, so there's a group of researchers in New Zealand who are investigating specifically courtship behaviour in redbacks, because what they want to do is they want to create pheromones from female redbacks and use those to attract male redbacks. And then hopefully they can attract male redbacks to a certain spot and then get rid of them. And because the males only mate once, if you can get rid of the males in a population repeatedly over a few years, theoretically you should be able to collapse the population. So it should be a pretty efficient method of dealing with an invasive species.
So they're going to use female redback pheromones as a trap and then sort of exterminate them? Or are they enticing them to sort of fake mate with something so that they then die and the population crashes that way?
It's a trap, I believe, to exterminate them, but the research is still in its fairly early days, so they're still sort of figuring all of this out.
What a fascinating idea. And this whole story just makes me think, how little scientists know so far about these spiders.
Yeah, absolutely. Insects and arachnids is one of those areas where there's just still so much to learn. One of the things Bruno Bazzotto said to me was that we've named and described about 50,000 species of spider, and he thinks that's probably a quarter to a third of all of the species that exist. So they're just this incredibly diverse population. They're so weird. They have all of these bizarre behaviours, and we're going to be figuring things out for decades on this.
Ellen, thank you so much for sharing your lab notes with me today. It's been fascinating.
You're most welcome.
Ellen Fidian is a science reporter in the Radio National Science Unit. We'll put a link to her story about the redbacks and to the research paper that we've been discussing in our show notes from today. This episode of Lab Notes was made on Gadigal and Ngunnawal and Ngambri country. It was produced by Amy Briggs, and I'm Jonathan Webb. I'll catch you next week.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.